G'day Groovers, welcome to another installment of your favourite podcast and mine, The U Project. G'day Melissa.
Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. It's Sunday, I'm up and about, doing what I can, just keeping it real. That was very presumptuous of me to assume that this is anyone's favourite podcast. I should have just gone with, g'day everyone, welcome to a podcast. Doesn't really have the same kind of captivating ring.
No, it doesn't. Does it?
Welcome to another one of the 1.9 million podcasts on the planet vying for your attention. The U Project, Jack. How are you feeling?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm not going to throw you under the bus. I'm not going to go the whole hog, but I'm just going to say to the masses, you haven't been your most optimal lately. We're not going to open the door too wide, but you've been a bit crook, but you're coming good.
I am coming good, thank you. Good.
Yeah, do you need a group hug from the TYP faithful?
That's lovely, thank you.
If you could all send flowers, roses, and small cash donations, what's the address again?
You idiot.
Or large cash donations. No pressure, but, you know, it would help. Just gagging. Let's jump into it. Let's not do a 10-minute preamble, as is often the way. You know what? The other day we've been getting, here I go, doing a preamble. Fuck, can't help myself. Feel free to fast forward through this bit. No, really. What's that episode 422, Becoming Ungiveupable? Well, today is Sunday as we record this, and that went up, I don't know, last Sunday maybe? And today we've got Mark Randolph on, who was an absolute straight-up killer. I love that episode. Killer means good thing in this jargon. And, you know, when you meet someone, even, you know, via the interwebs, but you're face-to-face with somebody in an electronic sense or a cyber sense, and you think, this guy's high profile. He's done some amazing stuff. He started Netflix. I hope he's not a dick. Now, other people don't think that, but that's what I think. And I think because, you know, like, so I've met some pretty high profile famous people who are doing well, and some of them are terrific, but some of them, you just stay to yourself, champ or champette. And, but he was a ripper. I so loved his energy, and I so loved how normal and practical and, you know, generous he was with his knowledge and his time and his energy. And it's bloody amazing to meet people who, this sounds wrong, but, you know, you think, if he was a bit up himself, I would kind of get it.
Yeah.
And he's talking to some shit kicker in Australia that he's never going to meet or see again. And, you know, it's not like we're the Joe Rogan Experience and we're going to change the trajectory of his life, but we do have a pretty big audience now, which is good. But I just love the fact that, you know, here's this dude who's done some, and not just Netflix, but lots of other things and lots of charity stuff and, you know, doing lots of good for humanity around the world, and comes on and is very generous and very present. And you know what else? I don't know if you noticed this about him, but he'd done a bit of research on.
Really?
Yes. Because halfway through the show, I said something like, you know,
I actually
haven't
heard it yet.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry.
My bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, I have multiple producers. Well, let's be honest, I have two. I forget who produces who. But anyway, halfway through the thing, and I hadn't given him any background, we were just talking, and I said, well, maybe, I can't remember what I said, but I gave him some theory on something. And he goes, so says the PhD candidate, right? And I'm like, what? How does he know that?
Ooh.
So he's clearly done a bit of background stuff. And I thought, how interesting is it, even at someone at that level who probably does a million interviews and podcasts, and he's still prepped and he's still ready to go and he's still informed. And it's like, we spoke to him for, I can't remember what it was, but like 50 minutes or so. And he was just very present. And I love talking to people, and they don't have to be founders of Netflix. They can be anyone, anywhere. But just, I love talking to interesting, fascinating people who one, have done some good stuff, but two, want to help other people do some good stuff.
Mm.
So that was good. But also what I was going to say was last week I was listening to, because everyone's going, oh, I love that. Like, we got so much feedback on 422, which for me was just it was almost like just an add-on episode where I went, oh, I want to talk about this thing at some stage, you know, essentially being ungive-upable, which is, you know, not that anyone's really ungive-upable as in we're never, ever, ever going to stop anything or we're always going to persevere with every, but, you know, becoming more resilient and more capable and becoming the person who finishes stuff rather than throwing it in. You know, it was around that. But I thought, oh, I might have a listen because, you know, I've rarely listened to what we do because I heard it already. I was there. And I hate listening to my own bullshit. But I went, oh, I'll have a listen and I'll see what. We must have got 50 to 100 comments from people saying that was the best podcast I've ever heard. I'm like, really? I couldn't even remember. And anyway, so I jumped in. You and I spoke for fucking 12 minutes about nothing.
Of course.
And I'm like, even I was getting sick of me and you. I'm like, hurry the fuck up.
Well, we're currently, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes in speaking about nothing.
Oh, big sip of water. Excuse me, everyone. I said to everyone, feel free to fast forward through it. All right. So he was in some ways a very small catalyst or a part of the catalyst for this conversation that I want to have today. And I want to talk about, well, the title is The Late Bloomer, but I want to talk about stepping into new opportunities or creating new opportunities or changing perhaps the direction of our career or our thinking or our lifestyle or our behavior or our reality, whatever that means, when we're not 16 or 20 or 22, but maybe 30 or 35 or 40 or maybe 60 or 70, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean throwing out everything we do or everything we've been doing, but maybe it means hitting the pause button no matter what our age is and reassessing and starting to question the stories that we tell ourselves about what we can do or what's possible or what's likely or what's appropriate for me at my age. And I'm not saying this because I'm in my 50s. I'm saying this because I've always thought this and I've always been intrigued by the way that, you know, when I was 20, I was fascinated that I would meet 50 and 60 year olds who were not that different to me, like keen and excited and enthusiastic and young in their thinking and young in their behavior and learning stuff and doing stuff and being adventurous and taking chances. And they were 30 years older than me. And then I would meet people who were 40, who were like fucking 80, who were stuck in their ways, who were living in a time warp, who were in this permanent holding pattern of thinking and behavior and misery and outcome. And then basically, you know, telling themselves they've fucking missed the boat.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
And just waiting for retirement.
Yeah, just sliding into my twilight years and just surviving my career so then I can be happy when I'm 65. Fuck, what a terrible plan. And if they were doing something that was monotonous but gave them joy, then keep going. And we're not talking about what is a good job or what is a bad job or what is a good existence or a bad existence or what is a good diet or bad diet or good relationship or bad relationship. We're not talking about that from a generic global universal point of view. We're talking about for you, the individual, the listener, what works for you. Because if you're working in a factory putting labels on cans, no disrespect at all to anyone who works in a factory, but you fucking love it and you love that you start at 7 and finish at 3. And from 3 on a Friday to 7 on a Monday, the world is yours and it pays pretty well and it ticks the box, then that's what you should do because it's meeting your needs on a multitude of levels. Conversely, if you're earning $1 million a year or $2 million a year doing this high profile thing that looks to be amazing and you seem to be successful from the outside looking in, but the byproduct of what you do is for the most part physical, mental, emotional turmoil and stress. And when people aren't looking, your experience is not one of success or happiness or joy, but rather anxiety and depression and mental fatigue and exhaustion, then maybe that job is not the right job for you, and maybe there's time to change. And so I feel like through the countless conversations that I've had over the years, that some people settle and some people talk themselves out of the potential for more. And it's not about their potential, actually. It's about their story about their potential. And it's not about their age. It's about their story about their age. And I always wonder what life would be like, and I wonder what people would be like, and I wonder what relationships would be like. And imagine a world where no ages were kept, Melissa.
Mm.
Imagine going for an interview and they had no idea how old you were,
yeah,
even by looking at you, right? Because what we do is in our culture, automatically we look at somebody. I do it too. I'm not saying this is I'm saying this is a human thing.
Exactly.
And we might not judge them critically, but we look at people and go, oh, so we make certain assumptions because, well, this lady or this dude is 60-ish, or this lady or this dude is 20-ish.
Yeah.
It's different. And we all do it, but I don't know that it actually is a good thing, because more often than not, I think we're assuming things which are either completely untrue or somewhat untrue, rather than going, let me just get to know the person.
Mm.
Not let me get to know the person who is 60, or let me know the person who is 70 or 20, but let me just know the person. Because one of the problems or challenges for us is we do live in a culture and a mindset and a society, especially in first world countries, which is very ageist.
Yes.
We are evaluated and judged and labeled, and not just sociologically in groups and person to person and out on the street, but by the government and by media and social media, we are judged and evaluated and labeled based on our age. Now, for some things that works, like, for example, okay, you are this age, you get a pension or you get access to these medical resources. I get that, because obviously there is a practical element to aging, which is biology, and things happen. And we're not pretending that people don't get old, or I'm not pretending that people don't get old, and I'm not pretending that age isn't a thing. And I don't really want to focus on the biology of aging, although we'll talk about it a bit, but I want to talk about the psychology of aging. And I want to talk about the psychology of behavior at certain ages based on thinking. So, you know, when I was 36, I went to university for the first time, never been to university, never did anything post year 12. Of any significance anyway. And I remember, it's funny, and I look back now at me at 36 and I realize how young I was.
Yeah.
But I also realize at 36 in an environment of 18-year-olds how old I was. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, over the course of 20 years, that of course I was the same dude. It was me, but me then was feeling super old, because in the contrast of the group that I was in, the students I were with, the people that I was eating lunch with,
exactly,
my friends who just got their pee plates, I was like their fucking dad. I was like the old group mascot. And I remember, you know, many of them telling me, as I often get, in the second half of the first year, we were all fucking terrified of you in the first semester. And I'm like, why? And they're like, because you're a big scary dad. I'm like, I just wanted to be another one of you.
Oh.
You know, but it was funny. But I didn't get a whole lot of pushback or flack by people going to uni. It was mainly positive. But it's funny, in our culture, there are, look, and it is changing, which is good, but it's not changing fast enough. I actually think for many people, the best time to go to university, I'm not talking about all people, but I think for a reasonable percentage of university, the best time to a reasonable percentage of people, I think the best time to go to university is post 30.
Yeah.
Because you're different. I don't think for everyone, by the way. But I know when I was 18, if I had to go and choose a tertiary course and immerse myself in an undergrad degree for 3 or 4 years, I would have literally just been fucking throwing darts at a board and going, let's see what the dart lands. Okay, I'm going to be an engineer. All righty then, off I go. Engineering for me. Look out, bridges of the world. Here I come. Fucking hell, you know? But I was a fucking idiot till I was 35. I didn't know what I mean, I kind of knew I wanted to lift shit and work in gyms, but clearly no one's going to make any money out of that, right? But then as it turned out, I did. It went all right. I mean, I didn't become rich, but I had some gyms. I had some staff. It worked out all right. But for me, I was essentially figuring it out as I went. But I think another thing to think about this stuff is that not for everyone, but for a lot of people, what we're doing, and it could be a relationship, it could be owning a business, it could be having a career in a particular profession or industry, it could even be the way that we train our body, or it could even be, which seems controversial, the way that we eat. But a lot of things have a used-by date. Mm. And what might blow your socks off and make you happy and fulfilled and excited when you're 20 to 30 might be completely different, or might not be the same when you're 30 to 40, might be different again, 40 to 50, or choose any age bracket. I know that for me, the idea of doing what I'm doing now would have held zero appeal in my 20s.
Yeah.
You know, for me to go and research psychology at a deep level and the human experience and sit in a fucking cubicle and talk to the world about the meaning of life, I would have gone, fuck off, give me some chicken and a dumbbell, you fuckwit, get out of my way, right? Because I was interested, but I wasn't where I am now, not better or worse, just at a different state of my journey. And just like back then, I was so fascinated with lifting heavy shit and how muscles worked and adaptation and physiology and fucking looking like a freak and training athletes and high performance in a physical level and getting people to run fast and jump high and hit hard and be like ultimate warriors in their sport. I loved that, and I still find it fascinating, but it's not where my attention or my focus or my passion is.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, this notion that we need to find out what we want to do when we're young, and then that's your calling, Brian. That's you for the next 30 years. Or that's you, Gail. There you go, love. You're going to be a nurse until you're dead, or a surgeon until you're dead, or whatever, or a fucking astronaut, or who cares, a barista. Doesn't matter, right? But it's realizing that, you know, we will, like flowers bloom every year, us late bloomers, we might re-bloom every 5 or 10 years into a different flower. Oh, fucking hell, I like that. Yeah, right? Where we just go, so this is what I do now. Now I'm a speaker. Now I'm a coach. Now I'm a personal trainer. Now I'm a classroom teacher. Now, I mean, we've had several ladies contact us in the last year or two who have gone back to nursing or have gone to study nursing in their early 50s and have finished and qualified. Mandy, that used to work for me, Mandy Boldenhuer, Mandy went and did nursing in her late 40s, mid to late 40s. She's now a nurse. But she didn't start nursing till she was nearly half a century old. She's great at it. And, you know, here's the thing. There's this kind of mindset around what we should or what we shouldn't do based on how old we are. And it's, you know, of course we're going to age, of course. But I believe that a huge amount of how we age is dependent on choices, behavior, and mindset. So, you know, I fully believe that, and I don't mean this to sound on any level arrogant or egotistical, because I am the most mediocre person I know. I'm not naturally gifted at anything. I'm not genetically gifted. I'm not intellectually gifted. I'm not athletically gifted. I'm like, look up fucking mediocre. You'll see a snapshot of me grinning like a stupid motherfucker back off the screen, right? That is me. But I know that my brain and my body and my health and my energy and my mindset and my habits and my behaviors and my lifestyle and my thinking is not typical for my age. I know that. And I know that because I talk to lots of people my age and I see lots of people my age, and there's no judgment, there's awareness. And I'm not saying better or worse. But what I am saying is, if I said to you, okay, whatever age you are now, would you like to have the physical, mental, and emotional energy of somebody 10 or 15 or 20 years, younger, everybody would say yes, because who the fuck doesn't want to feel, function better than they currently do? So I know that my brain doesn't work like a typical 57-year-old because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't eat shit, I sleep great. Do you know how many hours I slept last night, by the way, Melissa?
I'm going to guess 10.
Yeah, 10 and a half. Fucking oath.
No, I got wonder out of you're bed. On fire
my
now.
Cells, my cells were giving me a round of applause. They're like, you fucking rock. Right? And what I'm saying is that the way that we age and the rate at which we age is controllable and manipulatable to a point. Of course, there is a genetic element and an unavoidable element to physiological aging. Of course, nobody's going to live forever. But we've all met 70-year-olds that are young, and we've all met 45-year-olds that are old. And so for me, it's exciting to talk to people like Dr. Ingrid, who, you know, became a nun. She did 5 years as a nun. Then she became a doctor. Then she became a coroner, a medical doctor. Then she became a coroner doing autopsies. I think she did like 7,000 autopsies. Then she went back to study in her 30s to become a psychiatrist. So another 5 or 6 years of study on top of, I don't know, 10 years of previous study. Then she became a psychiatrist. Then she figured out how to be a single mum with 3 kids and emigrate to Australia and figured out how to do. Then she figured out how to become a leading psychiatrist in her field in Australia and navigate this new country and this new system and this new culture while being a single mum. Like, fucking amazing. And then in her mid-60s, she's now 73. Then in her mid-60s, she goes, I think I'm going to start to do strength training, and not just strength training, heavy strength training. And I think I'm going to start to run. And so she's now run a marathon and continues to run multiple regular half marathons in her 73-year-old body that doesn't look or function like a 73-year-old body because her behavior makes it so. And her thinking makes it so. And so she, I think she told us, I'm almost positive she told us that her biological age was late 30s. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think that was the case.
Even let's go rock bottom, 40, but I'm pretty sure. So give or take a quarter of a century younger. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that if we're going by the calendar, of course she's 73, but we know that the calendar doesn't need to dictate the way that a person feels, functions, thinks, or behaves. And so her body, from a fitness and strength and function and aerobic and muscular endurance and strength and power and speed and reaction time and all of these measurables, her body is closer to a 40-year-old than a 73-year-old. That's all it means. And why is it? Because she's a genetic freak. She said herself, no, she doesn't have great genetics. But why it is because she's decided what's going to be her default setting in terms of lifestyle and behaviors and habits and all of those things. And some people would say she's a late bloomer. Maybe she is. But isn't it good that in your mid-60s and in your 70s, you can be doing things which are unconventional and atypical that produce an amazing result? I think that, you know, we growing up, feel free to interrupt, Melissa, I feel that growing up, we kind of get told either directly or indirectly, consciously or unconsciously, overtly or subliminally, you like how I use all of those things, to do what's expected, you know, kind of do what's expected career-wise and lifestyle-wise and relationship-wise and habits and behaviors. And I've told this story once before, but this little moment in time I had that was about a 3 or 4 minute encounter. I haven't seen this guy since, but a few years ago, I was out the front of my house just fucking around with my gates at the end of my driveway. And I saw this dude coming from this my street. I was going to say South Road End. People like, where's that? But anyway, heading down from what you know to be South Road towards my place, and on a skateboard, on what they call a longboard. And he had long hair and he had on a flannel shirt and he had on jeans and sneakers. And I just thought it was a 20-year-old just out, just fucking cruising suburbia. And he was kind of hammering.
Yeah.
And he got to the corner just near my house, which is on a corner, and he had to stop, pick up his board and walk around a car. And then literally we kind of intersected. And I went, and he was about 65, right?
Really?
Yep. And he moved, like, I'm used to watching bodies move. I know what most 65-year-old bodies move like. And I said, can I talk to you for a sec? He goes, yeah, sure. I go, can I be really rude? If it was a lady, I wouldn't have asked, but I feel like with a dude, you can get away with it. I go, can I ask you how old you are? And he goes, 65. I go, you're a fucking weapon. And he laughs. He goes, yeah, I get that. I go, how long have you been skateboarding? He goes, 55 years. And I go, so it's not like you used to skate and you gave it up and you came back. He's like, no, I never stopped. And he was an executive and he'd finished and he was doing new stuff. I didn't go into it too deep. But what I loved was, here's this guy out, his energy. Like, I looked at this dude, he had gray hair, half gray, black hair halfway down his back. He gave no fucks about what people thought, but he was a nice person. He didn't care if it, he wasn't skating down the street going, oh, I wonder what people think of me.
Yeah.
He wasn't going, shit, I don't know if skateboarding is age appropriate activity for me. Maybe I should check with the VicGov website recommendations for 65-year-olds. Because fuck, I hope this is, I don't know if this is on the banned list. He gave no fucks, right? And the fact was, he moved like a 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was just so good. He'd been doing it for so long that he just didn't fall off. It was like that was, it was just like he and the board had moved as one. And he kind of skated off into the distance. And that, like, one, he was cool and I loved meeting with him. But I also thought, why was I so surprised?
Mm.
Like, well, he's a human, he's skateboarding. What's the surprise? And the surprise is you never see that.
Exactly.
Because, like, could you imagine rocking up to someone's birthday, 60-year-old someone, and you buy him a skateboard? Everyone would be like, what the fuck are you doing? I bought him a skateboard for his birthday.
Yeah.
What for? So he can go skate. Everyone would think you were a moron,
yeah.
Right? But I guarantee you, given the right setting and, of course, pads and all that, you know my favorite saying that I've said 1,000 times, we don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing, right? It's so true. And I remember many times, as a kind of an echo of the story I just told, I would, when I was a trainer, my second gym, the one, anyway, you know where Dendy Park in Brighton is? So Dendy Park's a massive park. It must be like 3 Ks around that park, 4 Ks. I don't know what it is. It's fairly big. And my second gym was 200 meters from there. And I remember one night, I used to train these three dudes together. They were in their 50s and they were like early 50s, 51, 2, 3 at that stage, train them in the gym. And one night, it was a summer night and it was warm. There was a fair few people in the gym. So I grabbed a footy and a frisbee and I said, boys, we're going to go to the park. And they're like, what? I go, we're going to go to the park. So we jogged to the park. So I've got these three 50-something blokes And we've left the treadmills, we've left the fancy bikes and the steppers and the grinders and the elliptical striders and the fucking fancy pin-loaded machine. And now we're standing on grass with a footy worth 10 bucks and a Frisbee. And these maniacs, right? I was up one end with the other, with one bloke, and the other two boys were up the, and I say boys because they were fucking boys at this stage, and we were doing kick-to-kick footy. So I'm kicking the footy, marking the footy, depending on where you live, catching the footy, that's called. We call it marking in Australian rules. Catching, kicking, taking hangers and speckies on each other, calling out, leading, bloody doing different drills, handball drills, kicking drills, running around. Then we played a kind of a game that I used to play with them with the Frisbee. And they spent the best part of an hour running around like 14-year-olds. Now, I'd been training these guys for a couple of years at this stage, and they all came up to me and said in unison, that was the best session we have ever had. Now, I'm the exercise scientist. I've been training them like precision training on the expensive equipment that I bought and, you know, ticking all of these physiological boxes that I need to tick to make sure that we're addressing all, you know, fuck all that shit, run around and be a child and kick a footy and throw a Frisbee and forget the fact that you're 55 or 53 or whatever you are and have some fun. And the interesting thing was, I would say all of them ran over 5 kilometers, maybe over 6 kilometers, right? Now, if I said to them, we're running 5 or 6 Ks, they'd all tell me to get fucked.
Mm.
If I said, and not only that, they wouldn't do it. They'd rebel. Or if I turned on nasty Craig, they'd do it, but I don't need to do that.
Reluctantly.
But I wouldn't make them do it because why? They'd fucking hate it. And I don't want to make people do things that they hate. But it's actually called cognitive dissociation when you do something. But like, so what they're doing is running and expending energy and moving their body in a rather intense way. But what they're actually doing is playing games.
Yeah.
What they're actually doing is reliving their childhood. What they're actually doing is having fun with their mates. What they're actually doing is fucking around and just being in the moment, right? Now, who's going to prescribe kicking a footy at Dendy Park? No one. But that's exactly what we need to do sometimes.
Yeah.
What we need to do is stop behaving our age. What we need to do is stop telling ourselves self-limiting stories about our age. So back to me at uni, 36, oldest person in the course by far, literally twice everyone else's age on average, because nearly everyone was 18. There were a few older people, but the oldest person in exercise science, in the first year exercise science when I did it, there was only about 90 people in the course. The oldest person other than me was, I think, 27, 28 or 27. And then obviously, I don't know, heading towards 18 months ago now, I went back to uni for the second time, literally 20 years later, first time 36, second time 56, doing a PhD. Nobody's going to recommend anyone start a PhD at 56. That's a stupid idea. And by the way, Craig, why are you doing it? You don't need to. You've done well. You're successful. You've made a few bucks. You're doing all right. It's all right. What are you doing? But if I wasn't 56, people wouldn't be saying that.
Yes.
If I was 39 and I just finished my first degree, people would be going, well, that's a natural progression, Craig. Mm-hmm. Well done, because you just did your undergrad, you're doing this, and now you've stepped up to that and da-da-da. But at 56, most people's curiosity is not around why am I doing a PhD in neuropsychology, or their main fascination is not tell me about your research. Their main fascination is why are you doing it? And what they really mean is why the fuck are you doing it? You'll be 60 when you finish.
Yep.
Like, what for? And I go, why not?
Mm.
And nobody wants to go because you're 56, but that's kind of what they're thinking.
That's what they're implying.
And this is one of the stories we tell ourselves, is we go, well, yeah, but you've done, you know, like imagine if 50 or 45, imagine if that's the time for some people anyway at 100%, imagine if 45 is where you start to fucking hit your straps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Is it possible? 100%. What if 45 is the time where you start to really, or 35 or 40 or 55 or whatever, is the time where you really start to open the door on the exciting shit and learning and growing? I know, 100% know that my brain works better now than when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And that's not meant to happen. Like, my ability to do lots of shit, to be productive, to be present, to focus, to study, to produce good outcomes, to maintain my physical, mental, emotional, and academic, for want of a better word, energy, it's better than it's ever been.
But that's
and it's not,
not
better ever than it's ever been because that was predetermined. It's because I'm doing the work.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It didn't just happen that way. It's because you've worked on it. You've made that kind of happen. You've been conscious of it and you've taken active steps to make sure that you're in that place.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I think that, you know, the reality is that we do live in an ageist paradigm, most of us, where, you know, if you've got certain skills and experience and talent and ability and you're 28 and you go for a job, or you're the same person but you're 58, unfortunately, we live in a system that most employers will disadvantage you because you're 58. Mm. And I don't agree with that, but I get it. I understand it because they're interested in their welfare, not yours. And I think, you know, it's really... You know, so many people that I've spoken to, and everyone's spoken to somebody and heard something similar, but so many people that I've spoken to have said a version of, this wasn't my plan. Mm. This wasn't where I meant to end up. I didn't think at this age I'd be doing this. I didn't think that my life, my experience, my outcomes, my reality would be this. And I understand that, completely understand that. And then my next question is, okay, so you aren't where you thought or hoped or dreamt you might be. Okay, so you've still got, you know, you're 40. You maybe got another 40 years. Maybe got another 50. Who knows? We don't know how much time you got. But what we know is you're not dead.
Yeah.
What we know is you live in Australia, or you live in a first world country, most people who listen to this anyway. And what we know is, you know, you can still make decisions, you can still change behavior, you can still get uncomfortable. And even if it's a tiny step in a new direction, a tiny step, can you take, no, you can't reinvent yourself over the next week, or you can't turn your life upside down today. We get that. And you can't find a brand new career by lunchtime. We get all of that, right? But let's get out of all of the reasons and all of the things that we can't do, because we get it. We know it's hard. Yep. We know that life's not fair. Yep. We know people picked on you. Yep. We know that ageism exists. Yep. We know all the bad shit. We're not pretending the bad shit isn't real. But what I'm saying to you, you now in this moment in your life, is what is possible for you to do to change your life. What is possible? What can you do to change the direction, to change your operating system, to change your outcomes, to live your purpose? Like, here are some questions. So if you want to, if for some of you this is turning, didn't intend it to, but fuck, here we go. If this is turning into something of a coaching session, I'm going to give you some questions. My first question is this, right? Now, when I say all of this stuff, all of you know, I think you know, if you don't, you're about to know because I'm going to tell you. I'm not pretending that any of this is quick, easy, fast, or painless. I'm not pretending that. But guess what? Every single one of you, hopefully, in 5 years, you're going to be 5 years older. Well, let's be honest. You're going to be dead, or you're going to be 5 years older. Let's hope that all of you listening to this are just going to be 5 years older. So in 2026, you're going to be 5 years older, or I guess depends on when you listen to this, and your life is going to be the same. It's going to be a bit better. It's going to be a lot better. It's going to be wildly better, or it's going to be a bit worse, or a lot worse, or it's going to be a catastrophe. That's the truth. It's going to be somewhere on the scale between fucking horrendous and fucking amazing. I don't know where it is right now. But what I know is that the next 5 years is going to happen anyway. The next year is going to happen anyway. The next 2 years, 3, 4 years are going to happen anyway. And you're going to be there. You're going to be in the middle of those years. You're going to be in the middle of that reality. You're going to be in the middle of your life. Your life is going to continue. Things are going to happen. People are going to be shitheads to you. People are going to be amazing to you. COVID's going to come and go. Things are going to happen. Good stuff, bad stuff. And then in the middle of all of that is you and your questions, is you and your energy, is you and your thinking, is you and your choices, is you and your behaviors, is you and the reality that you create, you and your stories. So here are some questions. So my first question is, what can I learn? What can I learn? Is it possible that at my age, whatever your age, that I can learn new things? Is it possible that I can develop new skills? Number two, what's possible for me? What's possible for me? Not what's probable, not what's likely, not what does my past tell me, but what is possible. See, what's possible is that you can do some fucking incredible stuff when you get out of your own way. That's possible. If we look at most people and we look at typical human behavior, it's not likely, it's not common, it's not probable, but it's possible. So when I'm working with people, I don't care about likely, I don't care about probable, I care about what could you do? What could you do? What could you change? What could you become? What could you achieve? What could you conquer? What could you do if you were brave? What could you do if you did the work? What could you do if you made the decisions? What could you do if you didn't do what most people do? What could you do? And then the next question is, will you do it? And we always kind of circle back to this, don't we? We always circle back away from the theory and into the practice, into the habit, into the behavior, into the execution. Because as I've said many times on this podcast, and as you won't hear on lots of programs or in lots of books, or although you do hear it, but probably not enough, is that it isn't about the theory. It isn't about what comes out of my mouth today on this podcast, because all I am is stimulating you. I'm provoking you. I'm teaching you. I'm hopefully inspiring you to do something. And the reason that I'm doing all of this is because I want you to tap into you. I want you to get past the shit beliefs and the shit self-esteem and the shit stories and into the awesomeness of what you can do when you let that cognitive crap and that emotional crap get out of the way. My next question is, how can I improve my cognitive function? My next question is, how can I lower my biological age? In other words, how can I make my body function younger, in inverted commas? How can I get better, whatever better means for you? How can I use more of my potential? So wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your age, are you really using, if 10 out of 10 is your potential, what's your number right now? I know that I'm really having a crack with a lot of things in my life in terms of my health and my wellness and trying to be a good human and trying to learn and grow and trying to be of value to the world and humanity and my clients and my listeners, my audience. I'm really trying, and I'm very aware of my bullshit, and I'm very honest about my bullshit, of which there is plenty, and my shortcomings, of which there are plenty. I'm really having a go, and I reckon I'm at 5. If my potential is 10, I reckon I'm at 5, because I still give myself a get out of jail card. I still lie to myself. I still take the easy option sometimes. And this is not about beating ourselves up. This is about sometimes we think, oh, fuck, I'm doing everything humanly possible. Maybe some people are, but not most. And that, because the problem is that to really tap into our potential is somewhat terrifying, because we need to open doors that we don't like opening. Because in order to tap into our potential, and I'm talking about deep into our potential, I'm talking about the fucking, the amazing shit, there's going to be some pain. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some hardship before we start to get the rewards. And sometimes we'd rather stay on the metaphoric couch because the couch is comfortable. So what we do is we stay on the metaphoric couch and we just hope that things work out. We hope that the next 5 years will just present opportunities. My question is, what opportunity can you create? Not what opportunity might, in inverted commas, come your way, but what could you create yourself? How do you practically create opportunities? How can you change your default setting? What am I wasting time and energy on right now that I can reshift into something more positive and proactive for me? One of my old man's, or not one of my old man's best friend is a guy called Gil. And I've spoken about Gil a bit. Gil's like my second dad. Gil is, I think he's 80. He's either 79, 80 or 81, but let's go with 80. And what I love about this man is he is he is timeless, ageless, in that it never occurs to him that he's 80. And I'm not talking about, you know, he looks 80 and he just acts like a juvenile. No, he looks like a healthy, fit, strong 55, 60-year-old. And every day pretty much of his life, he lives in the bush. He lives in rural Victoria and he's right next to a gigantic forest. He rides his mountain bike. And I'm not talking about, you know, pedals up and down a dirt road three times and comes home. I'm talking about half day rides out in the middle of nowhere with his drink bottle and his puncture kit and riding 100 Ks or so in the bush and then comes home. You know, he's all over tech. He's all over computers. He's got drones. He's got this, I don't even want to say how much it's worth, this ridiculous, used to be a truck. It's been converted to a mobile home. Like, I don't know, what do you call those things? It's bloody ridiculous. He maintains that. Him and his wife travel all over Australia to the deepest, darkest, most remote areas. And, you know, one of the things that I love is when I meet with him, when I sit down with him, he doesn't do a cursory, how's your life going? He will sit with me and grill me on what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and why I'm doing it, because he wants to learn. Like, he wanted to, when I first started talking to him about my research with my study, he was so fascinated and he would just sit me down for an hour and ask me questions. And I'm not talking about, you know, how people kind of placate you where they're trying to be interested. No, he was absolutely riveted to hear about what it is I'm researching, why I'm researching it, why it matters, how I'm testing it, about the scale that I've developed, about why the world needs it, about the whole PhD process. And his questions were bloody unbelievable. And I could tell he was literally just learning something. He wasn't trying to make me feel good and, oh, take an interest in what Craig's doing. No, yes, he was doing that. But moreover, comma, Your Honor, he was learning new stuff. And I love that. And this is the thing, you know, we can't do anything about the calendar. We can't do anything about chronological aging. I can't wake up tomorrow and be 56, or I can't be 55, or I can't be 35 or 25. But what I can do today and what I can do tomorrow with my 57-year-old body, I can treat it differently. Fortunately, I treat it pretty well, so I probably don't need to make a lot of changes. But wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your chronological age, there's no reason why you need to live that age. And as I said earlier, we're not talking about being deluded or acting young or being immature or silly. We're talking about being fully aware of what we've got to work with, right? I have been on the planet 57 years. I am an endomorph. I do have a few injuries. I'm not pretending that I'm 20 years old, but what I'm doing with this 57-year-old thing that I have to work with, I'm choosing to optimize it. I'm choosing to optimize my brain. I'm choosing to optimize my lifestyle. I'm choosing to optimize my choices, my behaviors, and my outcomes consciously. I don't want to be a passenger in my aging life. I don't want to be a passenger of inevitability. Oh, well, it's inevitable. You know what? There's a bit of inevitability to life, of course. But a lot of what people call inevitability to me is actually giving up. It's giving up before we've even opened the door on our potential and our possibilities. So boys and girls, I will leave it there. Love you guts. I hope you find some value in that. More importantly than that, I hope you do something with it. Melissa, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Go and be awesome. No pressure. Love you guts. See ya.